given that this week the United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan has said that in the absence of a second United Nations resolution, we would be acting in a way which breached the UN Charter, is Kofi Annan wrong?
No, Mr. Speaker. What Kofi Annan has been saying, and I agree with him, is that it's important that the UN comes together. And that's why we are trying to provide a compromise, even at this stage, that allows us to resolve this matter properly.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair faced down members of his own government on Wednesday. Philip Stevens is editor and columnist for the Financial Times of London. He joins us from his home there. Welcome to you, Mr. Stevens.
Thank you.
Your Prime Minister is under increasing fire from members of his own party, also the British public, because he supports the possibility of a war with Iraq. You are reporting that less than 20% of Britons are for such a war. Bring home to us here now how big a domestic crisis this is for Tony Blair.
Well, it's an extraordinary crisis. I was rather taken aback earlier this week when I spoke to one of his closest aides, and I said, well, is the Prime Minister going to make it? And instead of saying, yes, of course he will, this aide said to me, well, I hope so. Mr. Blair is committed to having another vote in the House of Commons. My bet is that he will get through that vote. Mm-hmm. At least perhaps 150 of his own 410 MPs are against him. As you said, public opinion is very much against a war, unless, of course, this last lap of diplomacy produces a miracle and a UN resolution. And this explains, if you like, the very frantic efforts that Mr. Blair and Jack Straw, the Foreign Secretary, have been making all this week to try and get that final resolution. But one can't underestimate his determination to go to war if necessary. And there's been a signal on this. The Prime Minister has asked the Queen not to travel abroad in the middle of next week. And that's a signal because the Prime Minister would have to ask, if you like, in our rather odd constitution, the permission of the Queen before taking the country to war.
Uh-huh.
The fact that he said in advance he'd like her to stay in the country in the middle of next week tells you something about what he expects to do.
I see. Now, meantime, U.S. Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld first said this week that U.S. could go to war without British troops, and later he clarified it. He said there would be a significant military contribution from the United Kingdom. How hurtful were those comments to Mr. Blair?
I think they were pretty damaging, and I know, having spoken to people in the Prime Minister's office, there was really very, very serious anger at those remarks. There's been quite a lot of behind-the-scenes tension between Britain and the US over these past few days, and the feeling in London that people like Mr. Rumsfeld have been undercutting the diplomatic efforts by making it clear, really, that they're not terribly interested in what happens at the UN.
You know, there is something curious, though, about Mr. Blair, and it's this. The closeness of his friendship back in the years of the Clinton administration, and now we see once again a cozy friendship here with a completely different person, different kind of man, George W. Bush. How is this possible? Or is it that he looks on the United States of America as his best friend, no matter who is at its helm?
Well, I think it's fair to say that very soon after September the 11th, 2001, he took a strategic decision that the best way to keep an international alliance against terrorism and these rogue states together was to be publicly George Bush's best friend. Although privately, from time to time, as on the Middle East, he's given some pretty tough advice and made some demands. I think as it happens, though, on Iraq, Mr. Blair has his own very strong moral view that getting rid of Saddam Hussein is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that very few other European leaders have.
Thank you very much. Philip Stevens is an editor and columnist for the Financial Times of London. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Mr. Stevens.
Thank you.